following is a synopsis of the Sichais of Shabbos Parshas Achrei Kedeshim, Yud Gimel Iyar, Hey Tinase, corresponding to the year 1991. There's a general rule that if you want to know what is the inner content of something, you look at its name. The name expresses that inner content. And if that's the case, in order to understand the content of Geula, of redemption, and especially to understand how we should prepare ourselves for the complete redemption, we have to reflect on the word in Hebrew for redemption, which is Geula. There are many different expressions in the Torah that describe going out of exile and of this last exile, but the most commonly used expression that Jewish people use, and also our sages, is Geula. So this word, Geula, contains within it the inner content, what it really means to have a Geula in the true and complete sense. And this word possesses an anomaly. The word Geula has two opposite connotations. On one hand, the word Geula consists of the word Gola. All of the letters of Gola are contained within Geula. Gola is Golus, exile. The only difference is that when you add the letter Aleph, it transforms itself from Gola to Geula. In fact, the Medrash says that the word Gola that appears in the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah contains within it two meanings. One says Gola means exile, and one says no, it means Geula, redemption. And Chassidus explains that the letter Aleph that you add into the word Geula represents Alufay Shel Olam, the master of the world, that transforms Geula, exile, into Geula, redemption. But of course we have to understand and elaborate on this, because there can be no more diametrically opposite themes than Geula and Geula. How could it be that both of them are contained within the same word? But this is the answer. Geula does not mean that we are forsaking and abandoning the life and the activities of the entire world in the days of Golus, in the days of exile. On the contrary, Geula, as its name implies, it is redeeming that which was enslaved, that which was not free, and that is that we are redeeming and liberating all that. And the more complete and the more perfect the Geula is, and we're talking about especially the true and complete redemption, more and more things become liberated. There will be nothing lost or left over in Golus. Even the most cast away, the most lost elements in Golus will be redeemed. And that refers to both quantity and as well as quality. All the activities, all the achievements of humanity will be liberated. In other words, all the things that cover up the real value and radiance of everything that we did and accomplished in Golos, all of those impediments, all of those things that cloud the true nature of what we accomplish in Golos and what Golos itself stands for will be removed and liberated. And that essentially is summed up in the words of the Rambam in the Laws of Kings, where he writes that in the days of Mashiach, the world will follow its general behavior. Our sages say there's no difference between this world and the days of Mashiach except subservience to the nations. What will happen? We will all return to the true way of serving God, and Mashiach will perfect the whole world that everyone should serve God together. And how do we accomplish that? By revealing all of those things that were submerged in Geula, namely the letter Aleph, the master of the world, God and godliness was concealed within material aspects of the world. So when you remove that concealment and you reveal the true inner identity and purpose of all of creation, that it's all there for God's glory, so then of course the world automatically turns into a state of Geula, of redemption. In other words, we don't negate Golus, we liberate the positive elements embedded within it. Then the Rebbe says we can add the following. To elevate and liberate the Golos by instilling within it the Alufei Shel Olam, the Aleph, the master of the world, is not just one action amongst all the other achievements and qualities that will come as a result of Geula, but it's the very nature and the very essence of Geula. That's why the word Geula, Geula, applies not just to the first stage of redemption, but even the second stage of redemption, which the Rebbe says he discussed many times, that even the Rambam, who says that the world of nature will continue the way it was before, concedes that in the second stage, second epoch of Geula, the world will change its behavior, and that's the stage of Tchias HaMeis, the resurrection of the dead. So even though Geulas matters will have no relevance, nothing of Geulas will be left over, so to speak, nevertheless, we still call it Geula Geula. We still talk about this combination of Geula being a composite of Geula with an Aleph. So the question is, once we're out of the whole area of Geulas, and we're no longer relating to Geulas, why would we still have to have the word Geula within Geula? So to understand that, we have to first explain the whole ultimate purpose of creation, the way it's explained in Tanya in chapters 36 and 37. The Tanya quotes the Midrash that says that God had a desire to have a dwelling place in the lowest of realms. That means the reason why the soul came into this world and the whole world was created, a world that is lowly, there is no more lowlier existence than this world. The reason for that is for God to fulfill his desire. That, and how do we do that? How do we accomplish and fulfill God's desire for him? But a Jew refines his body, his physical life, and the physical existence around him in this world, so that they all become inviting place, a dwelling for God. And for that reason, the mitzvahs are involve physical objects, so that we should refine them and elevate them, and that includes also the body of the Jew. That's how we make this physical world a dwelling place for her God, and that's how God fulfills the purpose for which he created the world. From this we understand that the descent into this world and engaging this physical world is not some secondary or tertiary aspect of what a Jew is supposed to do in this world. It's the ultimate goal and purpose, and brings to perfection the very plan that God had for this universe. As we say, Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God had this desire. It's God's desire. And it also fulfills the human being's purpose, because it says, V'zeh kol ha'adam. The Alter Rebbe says, this is the whole purpose of every human being, to make this world into a dwelling place for God. Based on that, we can understand and clarify the question that is asked about why the soul had to come into this world. The soul comes from a place where it's designated as Teherahi, it's totally pure, and it comes down to a place that is complete impurity, to the point that the soul needs to be protected, as we say, V'ata Mishamra Bekirba, you guard it within me. So how could it be that God, who is the ultimate essence of good, and the nature of a good person even, is to do good to others, how could God, who is the essence of good, cause such pain for the neshama, for the soul, to come down from such a high perch to such a low place? But in light of what we said before, we can understand that, because when the neshama, when the soul comes down to this world, it could fulfill the ultimate goal of making this world into a dwelling place for God, and therefore brings God's very essence into this physical world. That could not have happened if the soul would have remained above in its spiritual state. And the soul becomes elevated as well, and in two different ways. Number one, it reaches a higher level than it was before it descended, and it reveals its true power and true essence. Number two, moreover, the soul is now connected to revealing God's essence, because that can only happen by making a dwelling place in this physical world. So it's the greatest kindness that God has bestowed upon the soul that it could come into this world. And that's why the Mishnah says that one moment in tshuva, in repentance, and good deeds in this world, the world in which we make a dwelling place for God, which is the greatest delight and pleasure of God, this one moment, one instant of good deeds in this world is greater, the Mishnah says, than the entire life of the world to come, which is the highest, the most sublime form of delight, but is delight of a creation that cannot compare to the delight that we cause the Creator to experience. And one could say that this is also hinted in the first Mishnah of the third chapter of Tractate Avos, which we study in these weeks. It says over there, reflect on three things and you will never come to the handles of sin. What are these three things all about? So the Rebbe says, when a Jew reflects on the fact that there are only three things, your own existence, God's existence, whom you serve, by revealing the soul within your physical body, there's also a third entity, as it were. That's the world that God created. And only through this world could the Jew actually serve his maker and make the dwelling place for God in the physical world. So when you reflect, the word histakel means reflect in depth on this reality that there are three entities. There's God, there's ourselves, but there's also the world, because that's what makes our whole purpose of being in this world meaningful. And when we reflect on that, so even though momentarily we seem to be on a lower level, but that will prevent us from coming even to the possibility, the potential of transgressing, because we realize how our whole existence in this world fulfills God's whole purpose for the world and makes our neshama, our soul, complete. Now we can understand why the Geula Geula combination is the essence and the very character of what Geula is, because the whole purpose is to reveal the Aleph, the master of the world, in the physical world, in Tachtonim, in the lowest of levels, in a state of Golos, as the Alter Rebbe stresses in Titania, that what is Geula? Geula is the revelation of the infinite light of God in the physical world, and that depends on our deeds and our actions throughout the entire duration of Golos. Only then, in the Golos situation, could we make a dwelling place for God's essence. And that's why the Geula must come from Golos. But even so, to be more precise, there are two different points over here. Number one, because of the descent in Golos, we can reach the highest elevation of Geula. As we said before, just like the soul comes down to this world, it's a descent, it's a decline, but through this it goes to the highest of levels, to an even higher level than it was before. But number two, the Geula, how do we affect redemption when we take the Golos itself, and the Golos becomes the dwelling place for God? This thought is also reflected in the days of Sfira that we are now situated in. And also, this is the fourth Shabbos of the 7 weeks. And in terms of the divine attributes, it's Malchus Shebenetzach, sovereignty within the attribute of victory. A third thing about this period that we're in now, besides Sfira, and it's the fourth Shabbos, the Parsha of the week is Achrei Kedoshim, and the Parsha we're going to start reading in Mincha is Emor. And the fourth thing, the Rebbe says, is the 13th day of Iyar, which is the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe's brother, Rabbi Yisrael Aryeh Leib. So the Rebbe connects all these four things to what was said before. What is counting of the Omer all about? It's about refining the 7 emotional attributes of the animal soul. That is the primary service and function of what we're to do in the days of Golos. And when you do this, not only do you refine yourself, as we say, and I will become purified and sanctified with the supernal holiness, but we also affect the change in the world, as it says in the prayer that follows the counting of the Omer, Shefa Rav B'chol Ha'olamus. We generate a great flow of spirituality in all of the worlds. And this also affects a change and elevation to our soul, as we say, L'sakin es nafshisenu v'ruchisenu v'nishmisenu. With the counting of the Omer, we perfect our soul in all three levels, called nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And through counting the Omer, which is actually putting the Aleph in Geula, we bring Geula, as we say right after the counting of the blessing and the counting of the Omer, Harachman, may the merciful one restore the service in the holy temple to its rightful place very speedily in our days. Amen. Selah. And this is especially underscored in the fourth Shabbos, the fourth week, when we finish with the fourth attribute of Netzach, a victory, because we're talking now about the ultimate victory over the concealment and obstruction of Golos, to the point where we reach the 7th level of Netzach, which is Malchus Shebenetzach, which means the sovereignty and victory. That's the victory of the ultimate sovereign, Melech HaMashiach, King Mashiach, in the true and complete redemption. Now, the beginning of the Parsha of Achrei begins with discussing how the high priest had to do his service in the Holy of Holies. And this also explains what is the ultimate expression of the time of Geula. On one hand, the Holy of Holies is a place when which godliness was revealed without any obstruction, without any concealment. But simultaneously, it was a physical place. Even the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies as a soul within a body, unlike Nadav and Avihu, who went into the temple and their souls left their bodies. But the way it's supposed to be is the soul in the body comes into the Holy of Holies. And that is not just expressed with the Kohen Gadol, but every Kohen. On one hand, Kohenim have been separated from the rest of the community. They are the Holy of Holies of the Jewish people. They're higher than this world. On the other hand, the Kohen has to do his service in this world, in a place where it's possible to be subjected to the opposite of purity. And that's where he fulfills the commandment with which the Parsha of Emor begins, about guarding his purity. An additional point, the service of the Kohen of the Beis HaMikdash has to be done with beautiful, dignified clothing. As it says, L'chavayd u'l'safaros, it should be for dignity and glory and beauty. And if the Kohen is lacking one of his garments, his service is invalid. This is a place where you have the perfection of holiness, but it has to manifest itself in the physical world in a dignified and beautiful way. And that may be the reason why the Kohen Gadol has to be elevated above all of his brethren, even in terms of his material wealth. He has to be made rich, because in order for the Kedusha to permeate every aspect of the world, he had to be one who represented the wealth of the world, and in that wealth he brings the greatest measure of holiness. In addition to that, the Kohen Gadol's connection to the Holy of Holies is not just once a year, but every moment, as the Medrash says, when it says in the Parsha, with this shall Aaron enter, that Aaron was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies whenever he wanted. Because that's the true place of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, even though subsequently to Aaron, the high priest can only enter Yom Kippur, but that really tells us where his real place is. His real place is in the Holy of Holies. And that's how it will be in the true and complete redemption, when the world will reach its perfection, that we will be able to enter into the Holy of Holies anytime. Now, what was said before about the Kohen's service is not restricted to the Kohen, but applies to every Jew, because every Jew received the Torah at Mount Sinai, at which time God said, you will be Mamleches Kohanim, you will be a kingdom of priests. But now it's not revealed. Nevertheless, every Jew, as he is a soul within a body, is connected to the Holy of Holies, as the Rambam writes in his conclusion of the laws of the sabbatical year and the Jubilee year. And if the Kohen Gadol is someone about whom the Medrash says that he could enter whenever he wanted, so that's certainly true also about every Jew that has the potential, soul in a body, to reach the level of the Holy of Holies. And one could say, the Rebbe says, that that's the way it will be in the future. Now, this is, therefore, the very meaning of the command, the beginning of the Parsha of Kedoshim, the second Parsha of this week, where God commands us and gives us the strength, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kodesh Ani, you shall be holy because I am holy. Because even as you are in the physical world, soul in a body, you could reach the highest levels of holiness to match the holiness of God himself. As it says, Yachol Kameini, you might think you could become as holy as me. The normal way of translating that is God is questioning that. But Chassidus says, no, it means Yachol Kamoni. Yes, one can become holy like God. One can become so holy that they incorporate God's essence within themselves. Now, this thought about our engagement with the physical world is also reflected in the name of the one whose yahrzeit it is, the 13th of Iyar, Yisroel Aryaleib. The name Yisroel contains within it two opposites. On one hand, the word Yisroel is an acronym for the words Yesh Shishim Ribi Isis LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. That means the source of the life of the 600,000 souls of the Jewish people come from the 600,000 letters of the Torah. Every Jew has a letter in the Torah which is his source of life. On the other hand, the word Yisroel comes from the expression, because you have shown mastery with God and people, and you have prevailed. That means we have the power to fight, to wage war against the world, against other people. That means we have the ability to engage the rest of the world, even to the point where we have to wage war, and yet at the same time we are connected to Torah. But the two things are really saying the same thing. On one hand, the Jew knows that his source and his source of sustenance is from the Torah, and everything he does has to be based on the Torah. But simultaneously, a person has to reflect, as we said before, on three things. You have to recognize there's also a big world out there, and engage the powers of nature, which are called Elohim, because it says there's no blade of grass that doesn't have an angel that causes it to grow. So we have to contend with these forces of nature. We have to contend with the nations of the world, as Yaakov did with Lavan and Esav. And that is precisely the place within the world that we have to build the dwelling place for God based on the instructions of the Torah. And by doing that, the world itself is not destroyed or is reduced to nothing, but it's elevated into holiness. How do we do that? When a Jew utilizes all his natural faculties and resources to serve God, to the point that the nations of the world will also serve God, to the point that they accept God's sovereignty willingly, so that way, the whole world and everything contained within it is elevated into godliness and is liberated, which doesn't negate the Gola, the Golos, but elevates it, as we said before. And the word that is used in the naming of Yisrael, that he has waged war with Elohim, with the forces of nature, and with people, Vatuchal, and he succeeded, that is expressed in the word Yecholos. That means that the ultimate potential that a Jew has can only be revealed when he engages the world, and that gives the Jew a new potential, a new source of life. And how does one accomplish that? And the Rebbe then brings in the second name. The first name was Yisrael, and the second and third name is Aryeh Leib, which means lion. What does that mean? In the beginning of the Code of Jewish Law, we're given the instruction, Yisgabre ka'ari, you should be strong like a lion, because we have all these different obstructions and all these things that try to prevent us from fulfilling our mission, that a Jew serves God in all matters of holiness and all the matters of mundane things. That's why the word leib is in a foreign language, that we also wage war and we use all of our strength to prevail in all of these different areas. All of the above has come to fruition and is very vividly apparent in our period, in this time, the end of Golos, when we are anticipating the Geula imminently. In past generations, Jews lived in places in which they had such great difficulty, so many obstructions to be able to serve God. But in our generation, the overwhelming majority of the Jewish people can be found living in countries that not only do not disturb Jews and prevent them from fulfilling Torah mitzvahs, but they support them to experience personal redemption to the point that they will do everything in their power to bring the actual redemption. Recently, in the last year, there's been a completely different relationship in a country that had so many different restrictions on the Jewish people's freedom to observe Torah mitzvahs, and now they support it. And that's a preparation for the true and complete redemption, in which the nations of the world will support the Jewish people to the extent, or to the maximum, that they will help them return to Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but even amongst themselves, nations have started to engage in actions of goodness and kindness in the area of charity, in the area of education, two very fundamental aspects of civilization. And the more you reflect on the events that are happening around us, the more we see the difference between our period in history and previous periods of history of Golos, that nations of the world are recognizing that Yesh Balabayis Labirazu, there's a master to this house. And this is all a preparation to the age when God will reign supreme with the true and complete redemption. From all the above, we can learn several general principles concerning our period, in which we have to prepare ourselves for the Geula and actually bring the Geula. The first thing we have to see in all of this is that we have a very clear answer to all those people who are frightened of Geula. Worry is, what's going to happen to all of my activities? What's going to happen to all my businesses and all my properties and all my friendships and all my partnerships and all my relationships, even with non-Jews? But the answer is, there's nothing to be afraid of. Geula is not negating everything you did before. On the contrary, Geula contains within it Gola, to the point that everything in Gola that you had before will be elevated to their true place. And this is also a lesson to those people who are business people in the present. They have to reveal in all matters of business that they do God's glory, the Alufa Shalom, the master of the world, by utilizing their business to increase Torah mitzvahs. On the other hand, there are Jews who think that bringing Geula means we have to negate nature. But here the answer is on the contrary. It's through nature, it's through our actions in the time of Golos that we bring Geula, by prevailing over nature and succeeding in revealing the greatest potential within us, that we use everything in a manner of beauty and glory, like the priestly garments for God's glory, and we utilize our wealth to increase in matters of tzedakah and kindness to the institutions of Torah and tzedakah and the like. What is the practical application of all of the above? Since the Geula comes through revealing in Gola, in Golos, in exile, the Alufa Shel Olam, the master of the world, and that what happens as a result is that the last generation of Golos, that generation itself becomes the first generation of Geula. So therefore, the function of every Jew is to increase, in general terms, in our actions and our service to God, but in particular, those things that are connected to Geula, like learning about matters of Geula and Mashiach in the written Torah, which according to the Rambam, the written Torah is filled with Geula, even though there are places that don't talk about Geula, but their inner content is about Geula, and also to study the things about Mashiach and Geula in the oral Torah, in the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Midrashim, etc. Now, every Jew also has to refine his share in the world, his environment, by involving physical objects in the service of observance of the mitzvahs, especially mitzvah of tzedakah, and also to take all of our optional, mundane activities and do them for the sake of heaven and to know God in every way. And the primary thing is to disseminate Torah and Judaism and disseminate the fountains of Torah all over the world and to awaken Jews wherever they are to increase in learning and Torah and observance of mitzvahs. And this also includes publicizing the idea that God is the master of the whole world, influencing even the nations of the world to fulfill their seven commandments, preparing them for the time when God will reign supreme. And as we get close to Pesach Sheni, it has an additional lesson that there's nothing that is lost, no opportunity that we miss that we can't make up. That even if we lacked in doing this in the past, this is the time to make an honest accounting and to correct it to the point that all those things that we thought were lost or were truly lost in Golos will be revealed, will be discovered, and will be repaired. And the main thing is to find and reveal that which was lost in a positive sense. We lost knowledge of the Ketz, of the ultimate deadline, because it's higher than revelation. But yes, we will find that, because it says Mashiach will come as a Metzias, finding something that was lost, something that is higher than our understanding. As it says, Mitzasi David Avdi, I found my servant David, referring to Mashiach. Now a summary of the synopsis. The name of everything indicates its nature. That's why, to understand how we prepare ourselves for the Geula, we have to reflect on the word Geula. And there's a puzzling thing about it, because the word Geula has in it the word Gola, which is exile, the antithesis of Geula. Only difference is that Geula has a letter Aleph in it. And the Alter Rebbe explains that when you put the Aleph, which stands for God, the master of the world, into Gola, it becomes Geula. But the question is, how do we transform Golos into the word Geula? So the Rebbe explains that Golos and Geula are not opposites. Golos is not something that will disappear, but it will be revealed. Its true nature will be revealed. And everything that we did and everything that we accomplished in Golos will be liberated from the negatives, the things that cover it up, and will be turned into liberated entities. But the question is, why is Golos such an essential thing that every time we use the word Geula, it has the word Gola with an Aleph? Won't there be some new things that have nothing to do with Golos? Why do we always have to think about Geula in terms of Gola? So the Rebbe explains, this reflects the teaching of Pirkei Avos that we just read this Shabbos, that tells us to reflect on three things, that we have to remember that together with our own existence, and God, of course, there's a third thing, as it were, the world, that we have to work on the world itself by inserting the Aleph into the world, and that's how we can reach the highest levels of Geula. And this is expressed in counting of the Omer, when we say that we will generate flow of godliness to all of the worlds. That means we'll affect the whole world. And this Shabbos especially is Malchus Shebenetzach. Netzach is victory. We will have victory over the world that will bring Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach. And also the Parshas of Achron and Kedoshim talk about the function of the high priest, that he has to go enter to the Holy of Holies within the physical world, even though he's on the highest spiritual level. From all the above, we understand that there's nothing to be afraid of Geula, because it will illuminate the world of Golos with godly light, as we see even in the last few years, how the world is changing. The nations of the world are supporting Jews in their service of God without any disturbances, and giving them the right to go into the Holy Land. And even amongst themselves, we're seeing a change amongst the nations of the world that is more appropriate and fitting for the time of redemption. The essential thing, the Rebbe says, that we should already have the Geula taken from Yad Mamish imminently. And the practical lessons are four. We should increase in observance of mitzvahs, especially tzedakah. We should increase in the dissemination of Torah and Judaism and the fountains of Torah. Number three, we should arouse Jews to increase in the study of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs. And number four, to publicize God throughout the whole world by giving the nations of the world the knowledge of the seven Noahide commandments. Two of the central points of this sicha, the novelty and the completion and the perfection of the true and complete redemption, is that everything will be liberated. Nothing will be lost, God forbid, in exile. Nothing will be left in exile. Even those who are cast away and lost, the Torah refers to them as such. The Torah is the Torah of truth. They will be liberated. And the Geula will be a true and complete one, quantitatively and qualitatively, in all respects, from the greatest and most general idea to the most minute detail. In simple terms, every Jew has to increase in doing our deeds and our service that will bring the Geula. And that includes learning Torah concerning the matters of Geula, both in the written Torah and in the oral Torah. The following is an excerpt from the book Besuras HaGeula, which focuses on the main points the Rebbe makes with regard to the situation we're in today in terms of the imminent Geula. From what was said previously, one may discover several lessons regarding the service of the Jews to bring the redemption, and what must be done to prepare for the redemption, as we stand now at the end of exile, Gola, with the redemption coming momentarily. Worldly affairs themselves, and the nations of the world themselves, even in the time of exile, are in truth assisting in the service of bringing the redemption. It may be suggested that at the end of the time of exile, close to the redemption, this assistance appears in a more open fashion. We see this especially in the recent generations, and even more in recent times, specifically in the latest days. In previous generations, most Jews lived amongst countries which in general were a hindrance and an obstacle, etc., in the service of God. However, in recent generations, most Jews live among benevolent governments, primarily this country, United States, in which the largest number of Jews and Jewish institutions are located. This enables the Jews to achieve an inner redemption in their service so that they should perform the service which will bring the actual redemption. Then the benevolent government will also help the Jews to return to the land of Israel in the language of the scriptures, and they will bring all your brethren, etc. And in the last year, this last year, the Rebbe says, we see how this attitude towards the Jewish people has spread to other countries, even to that country, the Rebbe is referring, of course, to the Soviet Union, formerly, which until recently placed limitations on the freedom of the Jews in their observance of Torah and mitzvahs, and also on their emigration from that country. Their attitude has now been reversed, for they permit Jews to observe Torah and mitzvahs and allow Jews to leave there without the previous restrictions. On the contrary, they're now helping the Jews to travel to the Holy Land. This is a prelude of the assistance the nations of the world will give the Jewish people to go out of exile into the Holy Land and the complete and true redemption. In addition to the direct assistance from the nations of the world to the Jews, we also see instances where the nations of the world themselves perform acts of goodness and kindness, which reveal even more that there is a master to this palace. All of this is a preparation for the fulfillment of the prediction in the prophet Avadia, and the kingdom will be the Lord's in the complete and true redemption. It was not this way previously, when specifically the Jewish people, even though you are the smallest of all the nations, accomplished the intention of making a dwelling place in the lower world, while several governments of the nations of the world behaved in a cruel fashion to each other. Their main occupation was their own benefit, either by conquering the other countries, etc. Among the obvious things which occurred very recently, where we see how the world and the nations of the world are preparing and assisting the way to the redemption, are the areas of tzedakah and education, two fundamental foundations for civilizing the world. The recent events have become well known and publicized in all the newspapers. This country, which is founded on tzedakah and kindness, as is known, has used its great power to help and rescue people in a distant region of the world, even though the citizens of this country received no direct benefit. This country sent many people and soldiers from its army to assist the refugees in those places, together with food, clothing, and medicine. Instead of using the plains for conquest, and instead of using the food and clothing for its own citizens, it used them to rescue unfortunate people, particularly small children from the cold, and indeed from the very opposite of life. One sees thereby the compassion of the citizens of this country, when they heard and saw the suffering of others, not their own relatives, and with whom they had no connection. The country was aroused to help them. According to the principles of this country regarding tzedakah, it helps people throughout the whole world, and it doesn't even wait to be asked to help. Similarly, it is also known that recently the leader of this country came out with a declaration and detailed directive regarding children's education. This was consistent with a declaration the president made at the beginning of his tenure concerning his ambition to be remembered as the education president for the actions and large positive reforms that he would introduce to strengthen education in this country. And this is in addition to the many things that daily occur by divine providence, whether in general or in relation to each one in their personal matters. The purpose of all this is to reveal even more how the world is helping to make a dwelling place for God in the lowest world and bring the redemption. This includes the discovery last week of precious stones and pearls in the farthest corner of the world through the blessings of God. The practical conclusion of what has been said is, the redemption comes precisely through the service in exile from revealing the master of the world in exile, so that this generation, the last of exile, will be the first generation of redemption. And God helps us see in the recent world events how the world itself is assisting and leading to the redemption. This simply means, as mentioned above, that every Jew must increase in our actions and our service in general that bring redemption, including and particularly learning the Torah concerning redemption in the written Torah and in the oral Torah. That includes Mishnah, Gemara, and Midrashim, etc.